You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we come to the parish church, and we are given two really beautiful gospels to listen to and reflect on. And I want to strongly recommend that when you go home today, you take a minute and read those gospels with your family and have a discussion about them. They're both very important. Not that any of the gospels are not, but I think that really these are two very important gospels, and we should a few verses from chapter 8 of them, a few verses from chapter 6. You don't even have to go to another book of the gospel. Both readings are in Luke. Very important. We talked about already a few weeks ago the one from chapter 6, so we won't touch on that today. But I think we should touch on the first one that we read from the 8th chapter of Luke, the verses 5 to 15. Short, 10 verses, but this is the parable of the sower. And somehow this parable is very powerful for us. We remember it. It has an impact on us. I don't know why, but that's the fact. Somehow we remember this one very well. And so there isn't, on one hand, that much to say because the Lord explains the parable. But on the other hand, I think it's very important for us not to just say, well, okay, no sermon today, that's good. We still have to reflect a little bit, and I hope that we can do that over just the next couple of minutes. So, someone goes out to sow the seed, a farmer. Of course, this is the Lord, and the seed is the word of God. The Lord says as much in the explanation. The seed falls in four different places. First, it falls by the wayside. You know, it's kind of like the side of a highway, right? And the other place it falls is on rock, even harder than that place. And then another place where it falls is among thorns. And then the fourth place is on good ground. So you've probably seen, maybe you haven't, we don't live in an agricultural society anymore, but when it's sow the seed, you just grab a handful of the seed out of the bag and you just throw it, right? It's not like you're dropping each seed in a row. You're just throwing it. This is what sowing the seed means. So it makes sense. Not all of it is going to go just exactly where you want it to go, and that's the metaphor that the Lord is using here today. So the stuff that hits the wayside, it never even really gets going, right? These are those who hear the word of God, as the Lord says, and it never finds a place in their heart. And they just keep on going. The second place is on the rock. And you'd think, well, the rock is even harder, but for whatever reason, the rock, there it begins to grow, but it doesn't have any root. And as soon as there is a persecution or anyone comes up to you and says, why are you a Christian? Tell me. You just melt away. This is that which is on the rock. The thorns are the cares of this life. I think we have to be really careful about this one, brothers and sisters, those of us who are in the church. The cares of this life, we allow the cares of this life to become more important to us than the things of God. And whenever we get our lives turned upside down like that, it's not going to have a good outcome. And then finally, and the thing that I think we kind of want to talk about a little bit, the seed that falls on the good ground. And that seed bears forth 100-fold. That's a lot. 100 times more than is sown comes from that good ground. So it's pretty obvious to us, we don't want to be the wayside, we don't want to be the rock, and we don't want to be in the thorns. That's easy. How do we become the good ground? And this is where we have to really reflect and think, brothers and sisters. And this is where I think it's good for us to look at the lives of the saints. They are people just like us. They're sinners. None of them is perfect. Only one is perfect on this earth. That's the Lord. They are sinners, but they overcome their sinfulness. Not that they stop sinning, but they get closer to God. They're transformed. They're transfigured. And I think St. John of Kronstadt is a great example to us, and we're celebrating his day today. St. John managed to become the good Brahm. How did he do that? He did that, brothers and sisters, by radically loving everyone. Now, we completely have no idea what the word love means in our society. None. Either we think it's romantic love or it's sexual love, but we would never consider any other kind of love. Certainly there couldn't be. Our friends, the Greeks, have blessed us with many different words to explain the many different kinds of love that there are. Rather than calling Panayoti here onto the carpet to give us a Greek lesson, I will say to you that there is this filial love, where you love a person as a friend. There is this love that you have for your family. There's all these different kinds of love. St. John exhibited that. The best way to explain it is a co-suffering love. Like, he loved people so much that he suffered for them when they suffered. And he rejoiced with them when they rejoiced. This, brothers and sisters, is where we want to go. This is where we need to go. This is where we have to strive to go. To see God's image in every person to such an extent that we love them for Christ's sake. Like a mother loves her child. Even the ugliest child, mother can see God's image in that child. Of course, there are no ugly children in our parish. That's strictly a hypothetical thing. But you know what I mean? The mother can see the image of God in the child. But we need to see the image of God in everyone. St. John didn't start that way. He, in fact, when he was sent, quite miraculously, we will say, to Kronstadt, and we won't get into that. Read his life if you want to know more about how he got there. Kronstadt's a naval, well, it's a port, right? The Navy was there, there are other ships there. And if you know anything about ports, if you want to find vice in the world, brothers and sisters, go to a port. Or to a town that's on the edge of a country. Anyway, he found every vice there. He went and visited the people in his parish, a huge parish, probably 10,000 people at least. He would go and visit them and see all the sufferings that they had, see all the alcoholism, see all the abuse, see all of the terrible things that were going on there. And he had a lot of trouble seeing God's image in those people who were not practicing the virtues. Now, we are made in God's image. We can attain to the likeness. Right? There are two things going on here. When we read in the beginning of Genesis, we think, oh, God's image and likeness, that's me. You get the image free for charge. The likeness you have to work for. And so what he was even unable to see because of all the terrible things that were happening was even the image of God in people. And he prayed. He wrote about it. He had a wonderful diary where he kept track of all of his pastoral visitations and all of the thoughts that he was struggling with as a young priest and then later as a more senior priest. And he writes a lot about how he had trouble seeing God's image in man. A saint had trouble. Of course we're going to have trouble. So we should just give up and stop. Of course not. We have to turn to God, just like St. John did, and ask him to help us to see God's image in man. And to help, even if only through our prayers, those people who are struggling to attain to God's likeness. By loving and serving others, we ourselves will attain to God's likeness. What did Christ say when Peter refused to wash his feet? I came to minister, not to be ministered unto. We in the church, if we are emulating Christ, we need to be ministering. Now that means different things for different people. But if we limit ministry to the ordained clergy, well, you're left with kind of the bottom of the barrel, at least when you're talking about me. There are ministries for everyone. And the Lord didn't say to Peter, I came not to be ministered unto, but the clergy will minister. No, I will minister. That is, Christ will minister. And which of us does not want to live in Christ's image? Do not raise your hand. Because we all are trying to emulate Christ. So, brothers and sisters, as we circle back to the good Brahm, and we reflect on the life of St. John of Kronstadt, let's consider how we could be a little bit more like St. John. He was a great saint of love. He loved everyone. He helped everyone. Many times in a crowd, someone would thrust some food or some money or something into his hands, and immediately he will just give it to the person in need. He was clairvoyant, so that was helpful in that regard. He would give it to the person who was in need. We don't have that clairvoyance, but at least we can make an effort. As we are trying to become the good ground, and to not be the rock, the wayside, and not to live among the thorns, it's very important for us, brothers and sisters, to exhibit love. God is love, says St. John the Divine. If we are to be like God, if we are to be transformed into the sons and daughters of God, then we have to make a very serious, strong commitment and effort to love. And when we fall short, to humble ourselves and try 10 times more again. And if we can do this, brothers and sisters, if we can make such a sincere effort, and we can ask God's help and his blessing, then we can have hope that we will start to become like St. John. We will start to become that very good ground where 100-fold will come forth from the word of God which is sown upon us. And may the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.